Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Now tonight, a crucial topic that I think could have far-reaching consequences for South Africa's economy as well as our international standing. The United States issuing a strong warning about our trade policies and the possibility, the potential of losing trade benefits under AGOA, and it does have serious implications should that happen. I'm in conversation now with Donald McKay, Chief Executive Officer of XA Global Trade Advisors. Donald is a leading expert in trade policy and strategy. So Donald, welcome. The US then raising concerns about our trade policies. From your perspective, how did we get to this point, and is it a showdown, or do you think it can still be resolved diplomatically?
Yeah, so I'm certainly hoping it can be resolved diplomatically, Jeremy. But there is certainly, it looks like there is certainly some tension. Out of the blue, we've had Donald Trump come back in, which I think was possibly a surprise for some of us. And he comes with a somewhat more aggressive stance towards South Africa. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But on the other hand, the US is increasingly needing to get close to Africa, particularly with all of our mineral wealth. And so there's at least the possibility that he'll take a softer tone in reality than what we are used to with his rhetoric.
If, Donald, we were to lose those benefits, what sectors of the economy would be hardest hit? And would it be some time before we start to feel the ripple effects?
Well, let me maybe put some numbers to that, Jeremy. So we export somewhere around 185 billion rand a year to the US. About 60 billion of that is under AGOA. And the cash value of that benefit, in other words, the duty saved, is about 2 billion rand a year, which is not nothing, but it is certainly not a huge amount of money either. And that would predominantly be the automotive industry and areas like aluminium, primary aluminium production. So think of the products that Hulamin produces and sends off to Tesla in the US. Those are the kind of products that would predominantly be affected. And then a little bit further down the line, we have things like wine and some fruit, but really it's the industrial products and it's cars.
Donald, how much of this tension, in your opinion, is purely trade related, and how much of it stems from bigger geopolitical factors, for instance, our perceived alignment with Beijing and Moscow?
Yeah, I don't think any of this is trade related at all. It's all related to our stance, I think, on Russia, perhaps even more tellingly, our stance on the situation in Israel. And so I think those are the kind of the bigger drivers. But we've also had a deteriorating relationship with the US for a while. We haven't had a healthy ambassador in office for a long time. So she's been ill more times than she's been at work. We've got a new ambassador. So I think a lot can change. But we've allowed that relationship certainly to weaken more than we should have.
As far as you're concerned, and you've really got your eye close to the ball on this one, are our current trade policies aligned with bigger global norms, or do you think that we are taking unnecessary risks by addressing some of the key concerns that have been raised by the United States and other countries?
Yeah, so I do find our way of thinking in the policy space to be quite disconnected. So you will have the story being told that our relationship with the US, with the EU, etc., is incredibly important. But then the actions that we take don't reflect that. So I think there's very poor thinking around our foreign relations strategy and how we perhaps need to just be a little more transactional, like most countries are. And instead of hanging on to what feels like a high school relationship that we can't let go of. So, we still seem to be weirdly tied to the Soviet Union, which doesn't exist anymore. And we've somehow converted that and sort of implanted that relationship onto Putin now. And we've said, because Putin's in Russia and Russia was part of Soviet Union, we kind of like Russia. And I'm not sure that makes sense. And we see that with the links we have in BRICS. I'm not sure that BRICS delivers good benefits for us, but it certainly brings fairly significant risks. And although I don't think any of those have turned into particularly anything bad for us, they certainly have an increased risk as we see more and more badly behaved players become part of BRICS. So I don't think our strategy is well thought out at all.
Why is the private sector not applying more pressure in this regard?
Yeah, so that's a good question to which I don't entirely have an answer. I think the way the private sector tends to view its relationship with government on trade issues is that we sort of outsource that to government. And for some reason, we think that the very people we complain about with our mates at the BRAI are going to be absolutely wonderful when we just ask them to negotiate these complicated agreements, very often without almost any input at all from the private sector. So there does appear to be a laziness, and I think that has consequences. And that's not uniquely South African, by the way. I think, you know, this happens all around the world. And that makes these situations very political and very often not terribly economically driven.
And Donald, let's make no mistake here that it's not just a South African issue. If we were to lose that AGOA status, it sends out a very negative message to the rest of the continent, and I imagine would have an impact on broader regional trade agreements.
Yes, absolutely. So the story around AGOA is far more important than AGOA itself. So you can think of it like a signal or a credit report, if you like. And if the US doesn't want to do business with you, there are a whole lot of other people that would take a view on that as well. So it would certainly not be good. It would not be good in the context of the rest of Africa. It would send a horrible signal that we are a problematic state from the US perspective, and that will have effects on the US's closer allies, which may view us in a similarly suspect way.
And just a final one, and without raising too many alarm bells, should South African businesses, in your opinion, be preparing for potential fallout? And are there proactive measures that industries can take to mitigate?
Well, I think that horse has already bolted. We should perhaps not oversell how bad this is, because President Trump hasn't yet taken over. We don't actually know what he is going to do. But I think at this point, there's very little that anyone can do. It will be what it will be. You know, this is really a situation of what our history has been. And you might recall a little while ago when Ebrahim Patel was still Minister of Trade, he flew off to the US with a whole lot of other business people to try to rescue AGOA. I think that has had whatever effect it will have. I'm not sure there's much else that can be done except to wait and see.
Donald McKay, thank you very much indeed. Chief Executive Officer, XA Global Trade Advisors, and himself a leading expert in trade policy and strategy.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.